Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody because today is a Sunday night slash Monday morning, whenever you guys are listening to this. What that means, though, is that I am answering your guys' questions. So I hopped on to iTunes. I went through the five-star reviews, and I am here to answer the questions that I have in front of me. Today's show, though, is brought to you by Mizuma. I'll talk about those guys in a bit. And before I get to today's show, I want to talk about the game that the Lakers just played. Look, it was not a good game. It was not particularly inspiring. The Lakers looked like they did just enough to win. It's like they while watching the game, it looked very apparent to me that they understood what it took to win the game, and they didn't want to expend any more energy than it absolutely took to win the game. So the Lakers wind up beating the Atlanta Hawks 107 to 106. I was in charge of the recap for Silver Screen and Roll, so we all knew that it was going to be a tough, close one for the Lakers just because I was in charge of the recap, but that's how it turned out. And Tyson Chandler once again made a huge play down the stretch. JaVale McGee does not once again close the game. Lonzo Ball once again does not close the game. So I would imagine that that's going to be the topic of conversation moving forward from this point on. But at the end of the day, the Lakers wind up winning the game 107 to 106. They are now above 500 for the first time this year. And while obviously you would like to see them just knock out teams like Atlanta, at the end of the day, you take wins however you can get them. That's basically how I'm looking at it. That said, though, if I'm looking for things to look for moving forward, if Luke Walton continues to coach a team that fans or opposing teams see as underperforming, then Magic Johnson, I would imagine, makes a move. That the Lakers should not have been as close to Atlanta as they were last night, and at the end of the day, they won. You take wins wherever you can get them. But at the end of the day, Magic is looking for things to move forward. However, whatever that might look like, Magic is looking for ways to move forward. And barely beating the Atlanta Hawks is not something that Luke Walton wants to sit in front of Magic Johnson and talk about moving forward. All right, so I have time for a couple questions in this first segment, and then I will take a couple breaks and answer the rest of you guys' questions. Thank you very much for those of you who asked questions in the form or sent in questions in the form of five-star reviews on iTunes. That's the best way to ensure that whatever you want to talk about gets talked about on the show. And also, this was crazy. So I hop in an Uber. I just went to a bachelor party this past weekend, and I hop in an Uber, and I hear the intro song I hear the music that's being played, and I go like, oh wow, that sounds familiar. That sounds like a song that I've heard before, and it winds up being the intro song to this show. And the driver turns around and goes, hey, your voice sounds familiar. Like, I don't know how or what or where I might have heard your voice before, but for some reason your voice sounds familiar. And I go, well, you might be listening to me right now. And the guy turns around and goes, oh my God, you're so-and-so. And so shouts to all of you guys who were listening. You guys are making an actual dream come true, and I really greatly, hugely appreciate that I get to do this for a living. And this past weekend was the first time that that has ever happened for me, and I hugely appreciate that Uber driver. I forget that guy's name. And I appreciate all of you listening to the show right now. But that was really cool. That was really cool. Being the nerd I am, I called my wife and I called my parents, and I told all my friends that I was hanging out with over the weekend. That was really cool. I'll never forget that. So thank you to the person who was driving that Uber and listening to the show. I'm going to take a quick second here, and then when I come back here, so you guys have questions about superheroes, you guys have questions about Magic and Palenka, you guys have questions about why the Lakers offense crumbles the way that it does late. So I'm going to answer all of that when I get back. All right, so the first question comes from Saul the Kid, and they're asking, if I had to compare each player to a superhero, who is who? Well, LeBron is obviously Superman, right? The guy is just, he's built like a tank and can do whatever it takes. I think Josh Hart is Punisher. I think Lonzo Ball is Daredevil. If you just look at the guy's shot and the way that looks, Lonzo Ball shoots the basketball as if he was blind. So Daredevil makes sense for him. And then obviously, and lastly, Brandon Ingram looks like Slender Man. Like he just looks like the Incredible. I don't know if you guys remember this, but when I was a kid, there was that toy that just stretched forever. It was useless everywhere else. There was no point in having this toy, but Stretch Armstrong used to stretch forever, and I feel like that's Brandon Ingram. And according to my mentions, the guy is pretty useless when he isn't just stretching out all the way. All right, next question. This is from I'm Drew. Why must we be constantly reminded that Magic or Palenka did not hire Luke? I think it's a redundant point that is constantly being thrown out, as if we are just waiting for the next shoe to drop for his termination. Is there some kind of actual news to report? Or are we in the business of just spinning stories that aren't fully reported? Does Magic actually like Luke as a coach? Does he actually believe Luke is the guy for the guy for the job? If not Luke, then whom? Is Phil Jackson still on the horizon? I kid. Love the show, and I hope you guys choose this for the mailbag. All right, so what it comes down to with Magic and Luke, and I know you guys probably don't like talking about this much, and I'm not going to talk about this very much, but at the end of the day, Luke Walton was not a Magic Johnson hire. He was not a LeBron hire, and it doesn't matter how much you guys get frustrated listening to us make this point, but that's really what it comes down to. I am chubby. Like, I am not particularly fit. It doesn't matter how frustrated I get when people point that out to me. That does not make me any less chubby. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. And for those of you who do not like Luke Walton being in future coaching rumors, or people not liking that Mark Jackson or Jason Kidd or whatever, those guys, the people might not like those guys coming up as names for the Lakers coaching job moving forward. Like, it doesn't matter. That all it comes down to is this is the reality of the situation. Magic Johnson would rather have Mark Jackson as the Lakers head coach. He would rather have Jason Kidd as the Lakers head coach. And so for Luke Walton, it's his job to prove Magic Johnson wrong. That's just how these things go, especially in this situation specifically. That's what it comes down to. And I'm sorry, like I would I would love to report something different. I would love to tell you guys that nah, Luke's job is completely safe and he has the front office's complete and utter confidence moving forward, but that's not the case. The Lakers, Magic Johnson is looking for a reason to fire Luke Walton. That's just where we sit right now. Next question here comes from Vontae35. Why did the Lakers stop running in the last 6 minutes of the game? Honestly, Vontae, I'm asking the same question. They are not good at executing down the stretches of these games. We know this. Like, if I was the opposing team playing against the Lakers, I would hope that I stuck in the game long enough to be able to get stops in the last couple minutes, because the Lakers are so bad at executing down the stretch that, you know, you just kind of handle your business and eventually it's going to turn out in your favor. The Lakers stop running hugely. Like, if you're actually looking for an answer to this question, the reason the Lakers stop running down the stretch of these games is because that's the appeal to the tradition fallacy that occurs throughout sports, right? Like, the Lakers stop running because, well, that's how all teams play down the stretches of games. And if you're playing against the Lakers, you basically take whatever wins that you can possibly get, and that's how things have gone. Like, if I coached against the Lakers, I would just tell my guys, hey, just hang tight there, play as closely as you possibly can, make it a game for as long as you can, and then down the stretch they're going to slow the game down for some dumb reason, and that's where we make our move. So for the Lakers, they need to find some kind of balance. Either they start executing better, or they start running down the stretches of these games. I actually liked it a couple games ago against the Kings. It looked like they were actually going to run the game out, and they stopped. Against Atlanta, they just really slowed down, and Atlanta very nearly beat them. And that doesn't do anybody on the Lakers any favors. So we'll see how these things go. But if you're asking the question, why do the Lakers stop running down the stretch of these games, my answer is, I'm right there with you, buddy. I want them to start running. All right, we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about the referees. I'm going to talk about Tyson Chandler, all of that here in a bit. But before we get to that, I want to talk about Mizuma. Mizuma USA has been here for a huge chunk. They have been about as helpful as a partner as you can hope for in this industry, and they have been incredible. They have been right there. Anytime that I have a question about my finances, anytime I have a question about my taxes, whatever it might be, Mizuma is right there. They have CPAs, bookkeepers, and accountants all here in the USA. Like, they are right there in Utah, and they are right there. Anytime I have a question, they're there to help me out. So I am here to talk to you guys about Mizuma. If you are a small business owner, if you are looking for somebody to help you in those kinds of situations, I'm going to give you this number. Write this down. 213-947-6926. Again, that's 213-947-6926. And if you call them, they'll figure out which package makes the most sense for you. They'll help you make that decision with you. They are great at communicating, so they'll help you out in that kind of situation. All right, we're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to keep answering your questions. All right, the next question here comes from Teresa M1, why won't the Lakers give any fouls or free throws? Why I'm watching the Lakers Trailblazers game, McCollum and Lillard drive to the basket. A defender will jump straight up and contest the shot. Blah, 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 blah. Look, if you guys want an honest answer as to why the Lakers do not get calls compared to other teams, it really comes down to that the guys who are driving in those kinds of situations are not veterans. Like Josh Hart drives a ton. He is always at the rim, but it doesn't matter because he's in his second year. Kyle Kuzma, same thing. Even LeBron, like for playing for the Lakers, he has to a certain extent, rebuild his reputation going to the basket. So if you're watching the game as a Laker fan and you are hoping that the Lakers get certain calls, it's not going to happen because the Lakers have to build that reputation. Lonzo Ball has to prove to referees, hey, no, actually, I'm getting fouled here, and LeBron especially has to go to the referees and remind them, no, actually, I'm getting fouled here. I need this call. My team needs these calls. But for right now, though, as Laker fans, we kind of have to accept the fact that this is a young team, and it's going to take a lot of time for these guys to start getting their calls. Next question here comes from Big Timer. Well, according to Woj, the Lakers have their backup center in Tyson Chandler. Thoughts? Also, I see the Jazz are 4-5. How come nobody is talking about this? David, don't listen to this. But nobody is talking about the Jazz because nobody cares about the Jazz. Like, you know, that's just how that's the reality of the situation. People are a lot more invested in the Lakers not being good or being good or whatever it is. The Lakers are a huge topic of conversation throughout the NBA, and that's just how these things go. What do I think about Tyson Chandler? He's made two huge impact games at this point of his Lakers career, and I think that's going to be a thing moving forward. He was a huge acquisition. He was a great acquisition. He was a huge addition to this rotation, and at the end of the day, that's the kind of guy that the Lakers should have been looking for, dating back all the way back to last summer. All right, next question here comes from Jacob A. Pitter. Oh. Jacob Peterson asks, do you think LeBron is being too passive to start the season? I know he wants these young guys to play out and learn, but he seems a little too passive. You know, all I care about for the Lakers in their closing minutes of these games is stop taking those 30-footers, LeBron. Like, stop. Like, those are terrible shots. Those are awful shots. They don't help anybody. So stop taking them. For somebody who is, like, watching the Lakers try to execute down the stretch, LeBron dribbles for 14 seconds and takes a terrible step back, fadeaway three-pointer that doesn't actually do anybody. Nobody is moving over the course of that set. Like, that doesn't do anybody any good. So LeBron, if you're not, there's no chance whatsoever that you're listening, but those are awful shots. Those are not good. It wouldn't matter who was taking it. Unless it was Steph, because Steph Curry is, like, ridiculous at shooting. But for LeBron, he's not there. He's shooting something like 22% on pull-ups in three-point range or from three-point range this season. It's awful. It's not good. And those shots keep getting worse and worse and worse as the season goes along. And that doesn't do anybody good on the Lakers roster. Like, the Lonzo Ball doesn't benefit from watching him take that shot. Josh Hart Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, they're just sitting there watching with their mouths open as LeBron fires off that shot, and it's a terrible shot. It's not a good look. It's not a good set. And so moving forward, the Lakers need to get better at executing down the stretch. All right, let's take another second. No, we're good here. This is from Nick Batchelor, friend of the show, Nick Batchelor. Hey, Anthony. Now that we seem to have a new backup center, Tyson Chandler, who would be the elite shooter the Lakers can actually acquire? Well, we'll see what happens with Kyle Korver down the stretch of this season. He seems to be the most available. I don't know if the Cavs are going to be willing to deal with the Lakers and make a trade with the Lakers, but if they are, then Kyle Korver seems to make a lot of sense. We'll see what happens with the Phoenix Suns and Trevor Ariza. He's a perfect fit for this team, but the Lakers need a shooting guard. And all right, you guys want a hot take, or you guys want a tinfoil hat take? Keep an eye on Bradley Beal. That's all I'm saying. All right, next question here from Q Breezy 12. Hey Anthony, really appreciate the podcast and all that you do. I wanted to know if you think Walton still has the same luster he did when he was hired. And if you think he's lived up to his billing as one of the most promising head coaches in the league. Yes. Yes to all of it. Yes. He's been... I don't understand the Luke Walton hate. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Does he make decisions that I do not agree with? Absolutely. But I don't understand people going out of their way to say, like, no, this guy actually sucks. No. That's just a bad take. All right, next question here from All right. Your name is amazing. Maxim McNasty Hands Hands Never Ashy. That's amazing. All right, hey Anthony, love the show. I would like your opinion on which plays you see is necessary for a championship during LeBron's tenure with the Lakers. With us being 10 games in, which of the young core of Kuzma, Hart, Ball, Ingram would you rank as untouchable? Nobody is untouchable. Like Anthony Davis is on the table, which he isn't right now, based on the stuff that I hear around the league. He's not on the table. But if he ever becomes if he ever makes his way to the negotiating table, there is not a single Laker that the Lakers have right now that I wouldn't be willing to trade for him. That's the reality of that situation. Next question. Next question here from Lake _ Show. When the Lakers win, when you're very confident, sir. When the Lakers win another championship, do you think I will cry? Oh, that's a good question. If not, do you think it's a soft move or a boss move, in the words of Jalen and Jacoby, to cry when your team wins a championship? Man, that's a tough one. I would probably cry. But what means more to me at this point, seeing as I've watched 5 Lakers championships, what means more to me at this point is a Dodgers World Series, especially while Vin Scully was winning. Like, if the Dodgers won a World Series and I got to see Vin Scully, like, as they were winning it, I'd be a wreck. There would be no consoling me. I would just melt. As cool as it would be to watch the Lakers win a championship, and as much as I like Jeannie Buss personally, and as much as she has deserved to win a championship here, the Dodgers winning a World Series, to me, I would die. I'm actually, like, it's getting a little dusty in this room just thinking about it, so I'm going to move on here. But yeah, to answer the question, I don't think there would be a better feeling as a sports fan than the Dodgers winning a World Series. All right, next question here from Bruin Rider 78. Overall, this was a very good podcast analyzing Chandler's contributions, but are you really watching the replays? Also, are you aware of how badly Rondo has played these past 20 to whatever? This is a long question. Bruin Rider 78. I can't read 300 words in this show. So basically, am I aware of Tyson Chandler's shortcomings as a player at this point of his career? Yes, absolutely. I am welcoming those shortcomings. That's why JaVale McGee is playing as many minutes as he's going to play moving forward. Same thing goes for Rajon Rondo. The sooner that Luke Walton realizes, oh, wait, yeah, Lonzo Ball is a better player, the better the Lakers are going to be moving forward. That's how these things are going to go. Next question. Lakers Nation Forever is asking, hi, Anthony. Started listening to your podcast during the preseason. Been listening ever since. Great listen. Thank you very much, bud. My question is a two-parter. With the Wizards being as a horrible team right now, would it be smart to make an offer for Bradley Beal? Yes. Do that. Second question is, what seed will the Lakers be in going into the All-Star break? Ooh. All right, so I'm going to start with the first question. I've already answered that earlier today. So, good. Just Lakers. The Lakers should probably make an offer for Bradley Beal. He is this generation's Ray Allen. That's my hot take. That probably will not go over very well in the morning. Second question, what seed will the Lakers be in going into the All-Star break? The sixth seed. Yeah, I'll go with the sixth seed. Last question. This comes from Laker Fan for Life. Laker for Life, Go Lake Show Go, fan of the podcast. I was wondering, I've read an article written by somebody who covers the Lakers, and they said the Lakers should go after Monty Williams. Oh, that's a pretty good one. As their new head coach, not only do I think he's a good coach, but he's also one of Anthony Davis's guys. What do you think about this? Do you see this as a real possibility? Yes, absolutely. I think over the next couple years, unless Luke Walton like wins a championship in the next year or so, the Lakers are going to hire Monty Williams and they're going to sign Anthony Davis. I'll end the show on that. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thank you very much to Mizuma. Thank you guys for listening to that. I will talk to you guys mañana.